Welcome to Land Academy.
I'm Jack Butella.
I'm Jill DeWitt.
We show you how to buy real estate for half of what it's worth
and sell it on the internet really fast.
We are Jack and Jill,
and this is the Jack and Jill Show 2.
With over 15,000 completed transactions, we're the experts at acquiring property.
Of all kinds, not just land.
For half price and flipping them for way more.
All right, let's get this show started.
Jack Butella with Jill DeWitt.
Happy Friday.
And welcome to our show today. In this episode, Jill and I talk about how land investors mitigate risk. And I have to admit, I'm excited about talking about this. I talked about it a little bit on our weekly call on Thursday, and it decided to do a whole show on it because I haven't thought about it in a while, but man, this is so much less risky than flipping houses.
Totally.
Before we get into it, let's take a question posted by one of our members on the Land Academy community website. It's free.
Okay. Ryan asked, what is fractional ownership of a parcel?
I can tell you I found out what this is the hard way.
This is going to be good. All right. We're not picking on you, Ryan. I promise. This is funny. Is there anything I can do about it when I'm trying to acquire a parcel with fractional ownership?
Don't do it. Don't buy it.
Great. Do you really want one-third of that property?
Quite some time ago, somebody in California got the bright idea to assign APNs, accessory parcels numbers, to individual owners of, like, fractional ownership. Like, if Jill and I went and bought a piece of property, 40-acre property, it would get two APNs.
Right.
And so, and you could predict what's going to happen. It turned out to be a massive mess. One person passes away. What happens? We don't know.
Exactly.
Instead, to rectify it now, title companies and attorneys, they rectified it by taking different ways to take title.
Right.
Tenants
in common.
Tenants in common, joint tenants, lots of different ways. So if one person passes away, the way that title is taken, it addresses that upon death.
It takes what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's right. And that's the right way to do it. Mm-hmm. So as far as, you know, so I have sent out letters, like all of us, offers over the years, and incorrectly sent them to fractional ownership. Because it's hard to tell if you're looking at a list of APNs which ones are and which ones aren't.
Right.
And accidentally bought a fractional, you know, close the deal.
Yeah.
And you don't want to do that.
Don't want to do that.
Because it's just impossible to track the other person down. Maybe they passed away, their heirs are wherever. It's a mess.
I still see, by the way.
The only way to rectify it is quiet titling it.
Yeah, well, I would say we still have one or two that we just kind of said we're just not going to worry about it. We just let it go. And I still see the tax things coming through, which shows our company name.
And this is from, like,
with this other guy's name,
you know,
on
eight
it.
Years
we're
ago.
Ivan something, and I'm like, this is hilarious. Yep. I'm like, yeah, like, we're ever going to do anything with it. We don't even know who
exactly
this Ivan guy is.
Talking about.
We'll never see him. So I hope he uses the property, because we're not.
That being said, think with me here. You could buy this thing, all right? Buy this fractional ownership. Maybe you get it for next to nothing. $100, right? For a 40-acre property, let's say. This is not inconceivable. Because no one wants to touch it. You're the only person. And then you quiet title the heck out of the thing because you become an expert in that, or you find an expert in the area, an attorney. And quiet title it for all the other owners, and now you own a 40-acre property for $100 plus quiet title fees. Could it backfire? Could somebody say, read the newspaper, like it's 1948, where you have to post it from a statute standpoint, and say, oh my gosh, that is my property. What are the chances of that?
Right. I'm going to describe it a little bit differently, meaning that you're the one that's showing up and starting to pay the tax bills, and so you're taking responsibility for the property with the county, and you have to post it that, hey, I'm showing up here, I'm doing it, and I want to quiet title it all to my name.
Yeah.
I don't know where these people are. And there's legal ways you have to reach out and try to find the other owners to get them involved.
That's right.
And then, so that's what Jack's saying. And then, so if you did that, there's things that have to go in the paper, and notices have to be sent.
So it's a literal court case.
It's true.
It's literally,
and then eventually they
lawsuit.
Say, nobody else came forward. We did A, B, C, D, and E. Since nobody came forward, which maybe it's one other person, then you officially now are the sole owner.
Yeah.
So that's a process.
So, I've quiet titled property, and I've had properties quiet titled against me, and it's no big deal.
Exactly.
You know, you just follow the rules. You have to be super, super Johnny on the spot.
It's true.
There's time frame requirements, and if it says 30 days, they don't mean 31. They mean
30.
They mean 30.
Exactly. So.
But once you do one, you get it under your belt, and the laws are all different all over the country, and it's not called quiet title. It's called adverse possession. Mm-hmm. That's the concept. And then that's the Roman numeral one. And then the quiet title is one of the ways to do that.
Exactly. Good question, though, Ryan. Thank you. I know. Ryan only asked the time. He didn't ask how to build a watch.
How the watch works.
Exactly. So, by the way.
Thank you for making this show interesting,
Jill. You're welcome. You're welcome. Thank you. Here to help.
Last Thursday, for all you members out there, you know this is, but if you're not a member,
a week
Jill
ago.
Is in New York at a fashion thing.
Oh, yeah.
And I did the weekly call myself. And all the staff with their heads around the desk, they're sleeping.
I gotta say, it was so funny because I'm in New York. At the time, I could break away, and I could throw on a headset, and I could call into the call and at least say hello to everybody. I was backstage at New York Fashion Week, helping hang up dresses. Not kidding, with these gorgeous gowns because my friend is a designer, and so we're there supporting her, and I'm telling everybody where I'm standing, and I'm in this hallway, and there's models, and they're all changing clothes, and it's just beautiful people and beautiful gowns and all this stuff, and I'm calling in, and I'm like, hey, yeah, how is everybody?
You watched models change their clothes?
I did. Oh, I saw some of the models were full on nothing underneath, by the way, because they just, it didn't work with what they were showing. So as they're walking out, you're like, I'm seeing, she doesn't have anything on under there. So anyway, my point is, especially because we're that close, we were that close in the little area right to the right where the VIP sit, that's where we were. So it was awesome. And then all the photographers were up.
I forgot what this show's about already.
Yeah, anyway. So yeah, over here, Jack, over here. Woo-hoo. Eyes on me. So my point was with your member call, that was by yourself, and I called in and I'm like, hey, how is everybody? Silence. And it was so funny because our staff was saying, yeah, nobody's really asking a lot of questions this week. It's really kind of quiet. And I'm like,
what happens.
I'm like, I feel bad.
JackWithoutJill.com.
Oh, yeah. I'm like, all right, well, I'll be there. Here I am. I'm alive. I'm well. I'll be back. So I'll be back. So good stuff. So back to what's our show?
Do you have a question? Or you want to reach out to either one of us? Check it out on landacademy.com. So today's show is all about how land investors mitigate risk. And so that's the short version of the title. The long version is it makes so much more sense to invest in land as a land investor versus houses.
Yeah.
You know, there's so many things that can go wrong with a house, especially if you mortgage it. Finance the deal. You know, think about it for a second. You're buying a piece of land. If it burns down, it's not going to be any less valuable. In fact, sometimes burning all the stuff off of it makes it more valuable.
Exactly. You just cleared away all that debris.
So, you know, think about, I mean, the things that can go wrong in a house that you buy to rent out. I mean, just think about it. Go ahead and list a few.
My washing machine doesn't work.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know. Someone slipped in the pool. I mean, there's so many things. They're just not paying their bills. They're not paying the rent. That's
a
big one.
You got a victim.
Yeah. I mean, there's, you know, there's roof leak. Bring it. There's all kinds of things that can go wrong.
Yeah.
That you have to take care of.
That are not out of, they're out of your control. So in a land deal, in my opinion, you have control. Mm-hmm. You know, if something really goes sideways in a land deal, it's probably because you paid too much and you have control over how much you pay.
Right.
If something goes sideways in a house deal or an apartment deal and you financed it, it could be because it rained.
Right.
You know, and it rained hard for 2 weeks. You know, that's not your fault.
Mm-hmm.
And you have no control over that. If it rains hard for 2 weeks on this piece of dirt that you own, that's good.
Well, and you know what the thing is, too? I don't have to go out and see it. I don't have to babysit it. That's a big thing for me. For what we do and with land, I'm buying and selling land all over the country.
You don't have to ever go look at it.
Number one, doesn't matter where I am. And it doesn't matter where the property is. It's all about the numbers. And it's great because we have so many people in our world that are in other countries that are buying and selling land here, too. So you don't have to even be in the United States, nor do you have to be a citizen. You know, it just takes all that out of it. Gosh, so... There's no risk with the property, like you said. No risk about where I am. I don't have to see it and do something to it. What are your other...
It's really easy when you look at the back end of an assessor's database like we do. That's how we send mailers out to owners. to assess, once you know it's vacant, which is, and it's not vacant, once you know that it's not, there's nothing improved on it, there's not a house on it or roads, mm-hmm. it's very, very simple to value it
yeah.
right out of the assessor's database, in my opinion, and then consequently easy to send offers to owners that work. Houses, it's very, you don't, without looking at the physical asset, which none of us have time to do,
right.
it's very difficult to really value it. If it's in a master plan community or it's got some sales comparisons around it, you can kind of guess. And we do buy a lot of houses that way.
Right.
But there's nothing beats a good piece of land that nobody wants anymore from a money standpoint. Mm-hmm. It's virtually risk-free.
Oh.
If it's got drive-up access and you're buying a property that's less than 50, maybe 20 to 40% of what they really sell for, how can you lose?
Exactly. I got another one. One of the ways that we mitigate risk is we pay cash.
Yeah, no
financing.
There's
no financing. So it doesn't matter to me if it sells tomorrow or a week from tomorrow or a month from tomorrow. I'm not worried about it. I'm not paying a mortgage.
Mm-hmm.
The bank's not looking for me. You know, I'm not trying to flip it real quick because, and then there's a delay, you know, and I'm losing money because of that.
Right.
Yeah, and the taxes are a lot cheaper. So I seriously, at the end of the day, no matter what asset you're buying, even if it's a residence, because that's the way we roll, too, is, God, when you pay cash for it, it's so nice. You sleep so well at night.
Yeah.
Knowing that it's paid for.
Well, it's an asset on your balance sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And on the right side of the balance sheet.
Exactly.
The correct side is what I mean.
The correct side.
It's
not the right side.
Left side of the balance sheet and a little bit on the bottom right. The accounting coming out.
Left, bottom right.
And there's nothing in the upper left-hand corner. All you accountants out there are snickering.
And I have no idea what he's talking about. There we, and Jill's out.
Assets, liabilities, equity. Assets minus liabilities equal equity.
Ah, got it. Okay, got it.
On a cost basis, here's the kicker. That you have to record it on a cost basis. So what if we bought a 40-acre property for $4,000, but it's worth 22, how do you account for it then? You just jump up and down.
Okay.
It doesn't matter.
Oh, good.
Because you don't report to anyone because it's your land and,
there
your,
is that.
And your career.
That's
and
true.
And there's no structure.
That's true. And the last thing you want to do is call the assessor and say, hey, by the way, do you know it's worth this and you only price it at that? Don't do that.
We had a member do that
yeah.
recently.
Yeah.
I'm like, do you call the IRS too?
You can say, by the way, you missed something. You forgot my father-in-law just gave me $100,000. You didn't catch that. Like, no. All right. You want to do the right thing, but let's not be silly.
Yeah, just for reality check, you can get your butt kicked in this thing if you don't do it right. And here's how.
Ready.
And that was Monday's show. If you don't take your time and really learn how to do this right and expect to just, you're going to splatter a million offers out.
Splatter.
Splatter the whole world with offers that are silly. They're $5 and $15 and $48. You're going to waste a lot of money on mail and upset a lot of people. So you don't want to do that.
Exactly.
Buy the assets properly.
The one I see is people overpay. I see it all the time. That people have overpaid for something and they're trying to get something more out of it than they really can. And I have to just tell them, just cut your losses, get rid of it, and move on.
Yeah. You mean like...
overpaid for a property.
Just because they wanted to do a deal so bad?
They just didn't know what they were doing.
Oh.
They didn't... Because I have a lot of people that... It's interesting. People that came to me that they think they're investors. And they own a couple properties that they bought, and they're wondering why they didn't sell. And I'm going through different things, and I'm asking them, too, about the pricing. I'm like, why is it priced so high? And they're like, well, I paid X for it. And I go, oh, and there's the problem.
Yeah, you know what? I'm going to say this sentence. Never, ever buy a piece of property. I don't care if it's land or an apartment building or anything in between, house, for more money than the cheapest property in the environment, in the market that's available.
Perfect.
So if you go to a website, Zillow, Trulia, LandWatch, Land and Farmer, our site, LandPin, any of them,
mm-hmm.
and you're buying a 5-acre property like Kathleen disclosed yesterday
mm-hmm.
for $2,200, you're buying 5 acres, and there's 10 of them that are posted there for $2,300 or $2,400, mm-hmm. don't do the deal.
Right.
Or go back and say, I only can pay $1,500.
Yep.
And it's the same thing with houses. You do not ever. And that's, I mean, it's so, whoever bought property incorrectly that you're referring to,
mm-hmm.
they could have rectified that in 5 seconds.
I know. They didn't know. They overpaid. And then when I bring it to them and I point it out, they go, Yeah, that's why the guy was jumping up and down. Yeah, that's why he was jumping up and down.
Yeah, that's another way to, indicator.
Yeah, if your seller says, hot damn, as they hang up the phone or something like that, you might be overpaying. Yeah. No.
If you walk into a dealership and do a deal and everybody's jumping up and down except you,
yeah,
that's not good.
And they start throwing in free things like, we'll deliver it and here's flowers.
And here's a toaster and stuff.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. We're going to fill up the gas tank.
Yep. And my never mind. I was going to throw in some snarky humor about getting a date, but
it's
not good.
All right. Thank you. Thanks for saving that. I appreciate that.
If you have a question or you want to be on the show, let me turn the page.
How about join us in another episode where Jack and Jill discuss information.
That's me.
And inspiration, that's me, to get just about anything you want.
We use it every day to buy property for half of what it's worth and sell it immediately.
You are not alone in your desire to buy assets risk-free ambition.
Nice.
Thank you.
Good show, Jill. Good week.
Friday. Thank you. Thank you very much. It's Friday.
I like this video thing, I guess.
I think this could be really good. I'm anxious to see how this all comes out.
I think we should, next week we'll do it in different locations each day. We'll just do one
Love
each
that.
Day.
That'd
and
be
then
fun.
Try to get a boat.
Yeah.
Let's charter a boat.
That's easy.
And do them out there.
We can just join on the whale watching tour that we watch.
Yeah.
Go out.
Oh, my God.
Hilarious.
We should get two tickets to the whale
watching
tour.
And walk around with this on.
And just do the whole show while the boat whale watching thing's going on. Or we could take like a...
Wouldn't that be fun?
Shuttle to Catalina.
And do it from Catalina.
Or just do it on the shuttle.
That too. It's a long ride.
I know. It's bumpy.
It's a long ride. Well, today's a good day.
I wonder if we can get a water taxi from here to Marina Del Rey.
Sure we could.
We should do it on... Oh my gosh.
Done.
These are
Lots
good
of ideas.
All right.
Okay.
Information and inspiration to buy undervalued property.
We are Jack and Jill, and this was the Cash Flow from Land Show. We are the experts at acquiring property
of all kinds, not just land,
for half price, just so we can flip it for way more
and really fast. Thanks for listening. You are not alone in your real estate ambition.